You are listening to the Over the Line Show with Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. The Over the Line Show airs every Sunday from 7 to 9 on News Radio 610 WTBN.
I said shake, rattle and roll. 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 Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul.
News Radio 610 WTVN, Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos with you on this Sunday night. It is Over the Line. We come to you every Sunday night from 7 to 9, taking a look back at the week in review, pop culture, some of the lighter stories in the news, entertainment, sports, otherwise. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Happy Easter to you, and happy Easter to our guest, Ed. Ed, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just getting over being...
It's also April Fool's Day, so I cut his mic.
Oh, okay, thanks. He had me choked up in here.
I'm sorry. What?
He had me.
April Fool's. Yes, All right, that's the last. That's the last time I want to break you. Ed, you want to always want to be here on, you know, on an event day.
You know, here's the thing: is I the first two times I thought, oh, I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing?
And that's why it's a prank. No, you always want to be here on an event day. So
I do.
It's a prank day. So
it's,
there you go.
It's we're 1 week removed from the intervention.
That's true. Well, Joe's doing great now. He's clean and sober, and it's awesome.
Is that also an April Fool's?
No. Anyway, so happy Easter to both of you, and I won't cut his mic anymore, I promise.
Happy Easter, Jack.
Happy Easter.
How was your Easter?
My Easter was great. I spent it with you. We had brunch at my mom's house, and it was lovely. My oldest daughter declared it the best Easter ever.
She did. And then as brunch,
in her 10 years of life, that was the pinnacle so far.
I liked as brunch came to an end. I think it was your youngest daughter declared that Easter was officially over.
She was singing a song about it. To the tune of Here Comes the Bride.
I missed that was to the tune.
It was the tune of the wedding march, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they came downstairs.
I always wonder what the words were to that, beyond Here Comes the Bride.
All dressed in white, and then I don't know the rest of it. Here Comes the Bride.
Easter is over, and now Easter, it's time to go.
Get out. Take your chocolate and leave.
Yeah.
We had a very serious egg hunt. In the smallest living room in the world.
Oh my gosh!
Who won?
To set the stage.
Okay.
The living room, which, and I'm sure your mother's listening, is lovely.
but it's small.
It's about a third the size of this studio, right?
And that's being generous.
Okay.
That's a very large studio you men are in.
And there were 24 eggs hidden in it.
Oh. That's a lot of eggs for a
purple
a
eggs.
Box.
There were 11 purple eggs for my youngest daughter, whose favorite color is purple.
Yeah.
There were 11 green eggs for my oldest daughter, who likes the color green.
Yeah.
And then 2 golden eggs.
Now, how did they know whose golden egg was whose golden egg?
I don't think it matters. I think the Easter Bunny puts the same thing in the golden eggs.
Yeah.
They just know that once they find a golden egg, not to grab a second golden egg.
Now, I will tell you, and then, of course, couldn't find all the eggs.
in this room.
In this limited space, couldn't.
Did you check the couch cushion?
I'll let you continue, and then I got something to add.
No, go ahead.
So the Easter Bunny this year, after many, many years of hiding eggs, the Easter Bunny was smart this year, and where the Easter Bunny left eggs, the Easter Bunny wrote down the location.
That's smart.
An answer key.
Mm. Yeah. We still couldn't find all the eggs.
How many are still out there?
We eventually found the last egg.
Was the last one found? I thought there was still one missing.
No, I found the last egg. After everybody left the living room to go to start sitting down to eat Easter brunch alone, I was able to discover the location of the last egg. And it was a money egg, so it was a coveted egg. It was one of the eggs with money in it.
Yeah.
So there you go. So no, it was found.
I will tell you, and I may have told you this before, I probably have, but when I was a child, and you know, the Easter Bunny would come to our house and would hide the Easter baskets, and so my brother and I would find the Easter baskets. And then when we went over to my grandma's house, Grandma Jewett, so Dad's mom, she would have taken it upon herself to hide Easter baskets for me, my brother, and our 4 other cousins. There was a group of 6 of us. I was the oldest. And
still are.
And still am. Nobody's passed me yet. And I would find 5 quickly. I would find five of the six Easter baskets.
Not yours.
Just none of them said Joey on them.
And everybody would find their baskets. I wouldn't tell them when I found them because that, you know, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Unlike this morning, by the way, when one of your daughters goes, hey, yours are over under the table.
Well, my oldest daughter kept finding my youngest daughter's eggs.
Well, this is what used to happen.
And then just tossing them at her. Here you go. Here's another one.
Well, this is what used to happen to me as a child, but I wouldn't say, hey, Danny, your basket's in the, hey, Heath, your basket's in the.
Because it was every man for himself in your family.
Yes. Also, nobody was telling me. And I, you know, by the time it was all said and done, everybody had found their Easter basket except for me. And we're sitting there eating their candy, and there I am, the oldest one, sitting in the corner crying and throwing a tantrum, because I was very upset.
It'd have been even better if she wouldn't have given you one year without telling you.
This happened.
It could have been
every,
an April Fool's.
This wasn't, I wish I could tell you this was a one-time occurrence, but no one could hide in the Easter basket like my grandma. I couldn't.
No one could hide your Easter basket like your grandma.
Well, and then it was always somewhere.
Where were they?
No, okay.
I mean, where would you eventually find these?
Half the time I didn't, and I'd watch her bring it down from the top back of a closet in the hall.
I have a theory.
Well, you know what? I'd start the next year.
I have a theory.
Yes.
As to why this happened.
Yes.
You as the oldest of the grandchildren.
Yeah.
She probably hid yours first. She probably went in order. So you always received the prime, primo hiding spot.
But if this went on for years, maybe, wouldn't you eventually snuff them out?
No, she always had a better hiding space every year.
Mm. Or,
but that's possible,
there's
Jack.
There's a second theory.
That's possible, Jack. She may have every year come up with like that one really, really good hiding space, and by the time she got to the youngest, she's like, just put Heath's on the TV.
Yeah, just put it right here in the middle of the floor. So that's theory number one. Theory number two is she hated you.
I don't think she did.
No, this is the one that I like.
I don't think she did. I don't think that was the
case. I like the option where she intentionally put him through minutes, if not hours, of emotional pain to not hide the Easter basket at all. And that's why she went up to go get it. It was not hidden. It was tucked away where you could not find it.
No, I watched
Easter
her get
time
it.
And the family,
well, where was it?
The family tradition is to traumatize
and you said,
Joey.
You said she went up and wouldn't tell you where it was.
No, I watched her get it down from the hall closet, top shelf, way in the back where
would
no
have
child
started
would
my
look.
Search there next year. The hall closet.
Well, I thought that, I'm sure I thought says. About that the following year, but then there was a brand new awesome hiding place. Mm.
You didn't find your Easter basket? We just put it behind the furnace. Why didn't you look there?
It's halfway up the chimney.
That's how we did Easter.
Oh, well, my Easters were always fun and nice. The Easter bunny hid the baskets in areas that weren't too hard, difficult to find. We used to go to my dad's Moose Lodge every once in a while and get an Easter party there, too. That was always fun.
Now, that was Easter baskets. We used to also, family used to go to the Columbus Zoo on Easter as well.
Oh, okay.
And that was always a good time.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they do at the zoo?
They had animals.
Okay, but they always have animals at this. But I didn't know if they did stuff at the zoo, like they had special promotions.
Joey's Easter basket is in the lion pit.
Yeah. Or did they just go, welcome to the zoo, here's the same boring animals you see 365.
They hid colored eggs from Coco the gorilla. Yeah. What do you think they did?
I don't know. That's why I was asking.
They had animals. We went and we looked at the monkeys. That's what we did.
Woo, monkeys. Nothing says Christ is risen like these monkeys.
It was fun. We had a nice time. Ed, did you do anything special for Easter today?
Yeah, I mean, you have me going back to the time when I was, 8 and 27, trying to find my Easter basket.
When you
baskets.
Were 8 and 27?
Just 8.
Oh, okay.
My mom, if I would struggle to find it, she would savagely beat me until, I could get,
she
I could get
the writing
hits.
Crop and play colder, warmer.
No, she would give me hints, and then eventually, if I'm like, listen, I'm clearly on the verge of tears. I don't know where it is, and I need a Reese's cup. Then I would get warmer, colder, and then that's how I would find it. She wouldn't laugh at me like you had happened.
My girl's got two egg hunts this year.
Yeah,
the Easter bunny came to our house, so we had the morning egg hunt right after, right after coming out of bed. And then the Easter Bunny also went to Grandma's. The Easter Bunny at our house decided was not going to put chocolate in the eggs. So they got toys in the eggs.
Yeah.
And man, did they complain. So I got, so the Easter Bunny found these really great Pokemon toys. Both my girls love Pokemon.
Yeah.
And the Easter Bunny found these wonderful Pokemon toys that are just the perfect size to put into a plastic egg.
Are the girls into Pokemon?
The girls like Pokemon a lot.
Okay.
Okay. And so the Easter Bunny got the Pokemon eggs, hit them all over the house. And when my youngest found one of the eggs, she immediately opened it up and said, "This is a Pokemon. What is this, April Fool's Day joke?" And I said, "Yeah. Be glad it wasn't an IOU." So they got Pokemon at our house, and then the Easter Bunny figured it out right. Classic Easter Bunny, old school Easter Bunny, put chocolate and money in the eggs at the other place.
Yeah, they also got slime.
Yeah, that came from Grandma. Grandma gave him some slime.
Mm-hmm.
They like playing with the slime. That's fine.
Uncle Joe liked playing with his slime, too. It was fun.
Okay, but the slime was pink.
Yeah.
And then the slime came back later, and you said the slime was no longer pink.
They went outside and played, and then they came back in, and the slime was gray. And she's like, "I know it's not gray. Girl.
Honey child, that is gray slime.
This slime has seen the pavement of the patio and probably the soil in the garden.
I was going to say the flower beds.
I know where this slime has been.
There's a twig in that slime.
There's something going on. All right, let's hit our first break here. When we come back, the biggest pop culture story, I think, of the week is the return of Roseanne. We'll talk about that a little bit. Also, perfect for April Fool's Day. We'll hear about what One Burger Chain has done. So, as we continue, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTBN.
News Radio 610 WTBN.
Ooh, what's all this then?
What are you talking about?
It's music. What is this?
Oh, this is
This is LMAOFO.
Yeah.
It's a what? LAMO? What is it?
LMFAO.
Oh.
It's
I didn't know it.
Yeah. You don't remember the song?
We have to go back and do Molly now? What is this?
I thought you were off the drugs.
I don't know. I don't think we have to go out back for that, do we?
No, we can do Molly right here in the studio. It's fine.
Over the Line. Jeez. On News Radio 610 WTVN.
Break out the Molly. Happy Easter.
Joe Jew and Jack DeVos, our buddy Ed Francis as well. Is that a hit song? I don't know that.
Oh, yeah, that was a hit song.
I'm pretty sure it was like number one for a month straight.
And they played it. They also performed it at the Super Bowl a few years back.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, but
they
whatever.
Performed at the Super Bowl?
Sure.
Oh,
I didn't even know.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
All right. Well, one thing that a lot of people do remember is the TV show Roseanne, which went off the air 20 years ago. Its original run came to an end 20 years ago and then came back this week and was like the biggest show on television. The season premiere or the series premiere or the reboot, however you want to look at it, was watched by 18 million people Tuesday night, which I think was in its original time slot of Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. 18 million people watched, which is a huge increase over the number of people that watched the series finale 20 years ago. So a lot of people tuned in. More, actually, they ran two episodes. They did back to back, and the audience only increased for the second episode. And by the time they add in like how many people watched it on DVR and Hulu and all that other stuff, it's up like 25 million people watched that, which is incredibly huge for broadcast television. Jack, you watched it.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was incredibly well done. I actually, I wrote myself a note so I wouldn't miss it. And I told my wife, I said, "Hey, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, we have something to watch." And she said, "What?" I went, "The Roseanne return. Roseanne's coming back." And she went, "Oh, I didn't really watch it the first time." And I went, "Well, great. Well, then you can go in another room and I'll watch it." But well, I would like to watch it. And she sat and she watched it with me. And she had a bunch of questions because, again, she didn't watch the first run. She's just like, "Wait a minute, who's that? Who's the older daughter? Wait, what, there's two older daughters? What? Huh? Who?"
Yeah.
And but she enjoyed the show. She said it was great. So
Ed, you didn't watch it, did you?
It's still on my DVR list.
Okay. All right. Well,
They all die in the end.
They can't die because they've already been renewed for another season.
They'll do zombies.
Well, when I was in here, because I worked,
Walking Dead cross.
I worked exactly. Tuesday night. I worked Tuesday night, and during our little, you know, Josh sees us in the studio till 7, and then he beats it, and then I'm in here, and I go, "What are you doing tonight?" And he goes, "I'm going on to watch Roseanne." And it's like, this is the first,
appointment TV for a change.
From like the people who go nuts over The Walking Dead.
Which I am one.
Or Game of Thrones.
It, you know, for something on broadcast TV to be something where like people are, you know, and you saw it all over social media too. People were really looking forward to that. We're really looking forward to that coming back.
Well, they did a good job hyping it.
They did
a very good job hyping it. So
little trailers kept coming out, little scenes, just
pieces, nothing. I mean, they gave you nibbles here and there. You love a good trailer.
I do love good trailers. And that's different than how the Will and Grace one did. The Will and Grace one, they had that video that went viral during the election, and then they just said, "Hey, we're coming back," and then you really didn't. There were no like little clips or anything. It just, "Hey, there it is," and it came back and it did okay in the ratings, and it's done okay in the ratings. They ain't getting no 25 million people watching that show.
No. And I guess there's talk about Mad About You coming back.
Yeah.
Why?
Who's asking for
Nobody's asking for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Murphy Brown's coming back?
No, again,
Who wanted that?
Oh, I almost just made a joke about what's next. Murphy Brown, is that happening?
That's coming. Thing? That's a done deal.
Oh, okay.
You know,
when are they going to bring back Yes, Dear?
Where's Dharma and Greg? Where are these shows?
I liked Yes, Dear.
Yes, I did.
Yes, Dear was okay. It wasn't funny, but it also wasn't bad enough to turn off.
I'd be up for a Coach reboot.
Well, they tried that, and they already pulled the plug on it.
Oh. Yeah.
They didn't hype it, right? Because I didn't even know it was a thing.
No, yeah. They tried, and they didn't even get an episode filmed. They pulled the plug before they started shooting.
Yeah. Well, now it's not like they would have had Jerry Van Dyke anymore.
You know, to go back to Roseanne, I saw several people that we'll call Facebook friends of mine, and they were thoroughly confused at the fact that, well, I thought she didn't like Trump because it was very political. And then eventually pieced it together. They had confused Roseanne with Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh,
jeez.
Wow.
Close.
Okay. I think more people can stand Roseanne.
Than can stand Rosie O'Donnell.
I would concur with that. I certainly am in that boat.
And that whole thing, the show was a huge thing on Tuesday night. It was so many people watched it, and then suddenly it was a political thing. You know, I can't turn on the news without being told that I watched it because Roseanne is pro-Trump. Or because it's political.
That's not why I watched it. Yeah, same here. I watched it because I enjoyed the show the first time, and I was looking forward to the return.
The writing was great, and you know, they do give it to both sides because Roseanne, although she's pro Trump, she's not the only person in the house,
right?
And you watch it, and I'm sorry, but I can sit there and laugh at the jokes at Donald Trump's expense. And I can laugh at the jokes at Hillary Clinton's expense.
Mm-hmm.
I wish more people could do that.
Yeah, they were both great.
We'd be a lot better if more people were like me. But I was able to do that. And then suddenly, like on Wednesday or Thursday, the president's like, "Well, the show was all about me." No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
Now, based on the two episodes I saw, I am very much looking forward to the fifth episode when they give the DJ character another line of dialogue.
That'll be exciting. He had two.
This is what I don't understand. So DJ,
was he even in the second episode?
No, he wasn't. He didn't show up in the second episode. He shows up in the first episode.
Yeah.
They thank him for his service because he just got back from Syria.
Yeah.
He just got back from being deployed.
Yeah.
He has a daughter.
Yeah.
Who's African American.
Yeah.
They talk about his wife still being deployed, praying for her safe return.
Yeah.
And that they don't address this again.
I don't need to watch it on my DVR.
No, you still watch it because this is only 45 seconds of the entire show.
Oh.
They don't address the fact that DJ is a veteran. He's married. He has a child.
Well, they do.
He's in an interracial relationship.
When Roseanne is saying grace, she mentions that DJ's back from Syria.
And that's when they also mention his wife.
Yeah.
So not only is he back from Syria, but his wife is still deployed. She's also a veteran.
Yeah.
And I was just like, they could have explored that a little bit in the second episode showed up in.
The only thing that I thought was clumsy in the way it was handled was on the original series, they had a fourth child. Because they had a baby
series. They mention him.
Yeah, it was really bad. Could tell they have no intention of casting that role. The person was a baby at the end of the original series. And Roseanne is like, and please watch over Jerry, who's on that fishing boat where they don't get any phone calls. And we're never going to see him during this series run.
Yeah, he's apparently on Deadliest Catch.
There's a picture.
He's catching crabs off the Bering Sea.
There's a picture. I have this theory. There's a picture in the living room of someone who's clearly not one of the Connors that we know, but looks like the character of Jerry from ER. If you remember,
there's a picture of Becky's dead husband. Because the actor passed away. I saw that picture. I didn't see this other picture.
There's this other picture that to me looks like Jerry from ER. And ER was set in Chicago and Lanford's in Illinois.
Was he the big orderly guy?
Yeah.
He was the big orderly guy?
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's supposed to be Jerry. I don't know.
From ER?
Yeah.
Why would they put Jerry from ER in there?
That was the name of the baby on the show was Jerry. Maybe they're trying to say that was him.
But he's on the fishing boat. He's not in Cook County General.
Well, I don't know.
All right.
I didn't think it was... Anyway. I'm glad the show's back.
Me too.
First two episodes were done quite well. Let's see how it is. All right, April Fool's Day, In-N-Out Burger. We'll find out what they're doing for it. And also, what?
They're being pranked.
Oh,
they're being pranked. Victims of a prank.
All right, well. That's what's going to happen. And the tale of a birthday lottery winner after your bottom of the hour news here as we continue on this Sunday night. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN with you on this Easter Sunday night. Our buddy Ed Francis with us as well.
In-N-Out Burger is a West Coast hamburger chain. Unfortunately, we don't have them here in Ohio, but West Coasters swear by In-N-Out Burger. There's a kind of a friendly rivalry between In-N-Out Burger and Five Guys on who has the best burgers for this kind of, that's just a stripped down sort of...
Have you had both?
I've had both.
Do you have a preference?
Five Guys.
Yeah, me too. Ed, have you had both?
I mean, I don't eat meat.
Yeah, but you haven't always not eaten meat. Do you not remember meat?
I thought Five Guys was a little overrated. I've never had In-N-Out.
Okay.
There's an In-N-Out in Vegas if you're hankering for some.
He doesn't eat meat.
I don't eat meat.
I was talking to you, Joe.
Oh, yeah, that's where I've had it.
Right. Yeah. I was looking directly at you.
That's where I've
had... Veggie Boy can sit in the corner.
That's where I've had In-N-Out before, was I had it in Vegas.
Anyway, so they're having problems out in there. They're based in Los Angeles, and it's particularly in the Los Angeles market. They have sought a restraining order against an online prankster who has posed as the company's CEO at two of the Los Angeles area restaurants, where he has argued with employees and in one instance took a hamburger from a customer, threw it to the ground, stepped on it, claiming it was garbage. In-N-Out has filed a lawsuit in Los Angeles requesting a restraining order against Cody Roeder, who posts YouTube videos under the name Troll Munchies. So you can look him up.
That right away.
Said In-N-Out, we've recently seen an increase of visitors to our stores who are not customers, but instead are intentionally disruptive and who then try to promote themselves through social media. This is from In-N-Out Executive Vice President Arnie Weinsinger. These visitors have unfortunately used deceit, fraud, and trespass to their own advantage, and in each instance, they have attempted to humiliate, offend, or otherwise make our customers or associates uncomfortable. The suit claims that Roeder caused significant and irreparable harm to the chain with incidents this month. It seeks damages of more than $25,000. The In-N-Out's attorneys, who say that they accompanied Roeder and filmed his behavior... Why were the attorneys with this guy? Are unjustly profiting from his illegal activity. They want the restraining order extended to them as well. It seeks to keep them and Roeder from entering In-N-Out restaurants or harassing its employees and customers.
Are they sure this wasn't just like the worst undercover boss episode ever?
I don't know. It sounds like that. In one incident, Roeder appeared at a restaurant in business attire and claimed to be the ex-husband of In-N-Out CEO Lindsay Snyder Ellingson. He claimed he was now the acting CEO of the chain and making a surprise visit. He demanded kitchen workers make him a cheeseburger and fries for a taste test, then left when he was further challenged by the employees who said, "Who are you again?" The lawsuit says he showed up at another restaurant the next day, making the exact same claim about being the CEO and demanding at the main register to speak to the manager regarding the contamination of the food. When he failed to incite a reaction from those employees, because they're teenagers and were like, whatever, he then approached a customer, picked up his burger, and began pulling the patty apart in the middle of the restaurant, claiming it was contaminated. When the manager promised the customer a new hamburger, Roeder, who had been told to leave by that time, proceeded to throw the burger on the ground in the middle of the restaurant and step on it, telling the customer it was garbage. A 10-minute video uploaded by Troll Munchies on March 14th shows scenes from both incidents. The video has nearly 27,000 views.
Oh, that's not very much.
No. Similar prank disruptions featuring Roeder have been recorded at Taco Bell and Ralph's supermarket chains.
So this guy's a YouTube star wannabe.
Yeah, exactly. Taco Bell and Ralph's declined to comment on the matter, but In-N-Out is seeking a restraining order and telling this guy to go to a, you know, places that aren't In-N-Out.
I still think it's an undercover boss thing.
Okay, well, you can
They should
that.
Find out. There are certain characteristics if it's an undercover boss episode. One, the person is wearing a bad wig and clearly bad facial hair.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it's always the same premise. It's always the same, I'm a contestant on a reality show. And nobody ever figures it out.
Which is amazing.
It's the same thing for 10 years.
It's amazing how in an hour they can learn so much about the deepest parts of someone's life.
They have to explain why there's suddenly 8,000 cameras there.
But it's always the same.
Because it's just
I'm with a different premise.
I'm Bob Smith, the new guy on the line. Don't mind this camera crew.
I watched that show with joy, and I looked forward to it. It was appointment television.
Who's Joy?
Until I got through the second year and realized.
Tell me about Joy.
And until I got through year two, and I realized this is a shtick at this point. I mean, it's. No one on that show.
You
since
still
season
watched
three.
It though, didn't you?
I watched the first 2 years, and then I is it still on?
I think it is.
It's still okay.
It's still on.
No one gets through the first 2 years of that show, and then has no idea. Oh, well, I didn't know I was on Undercover Boss. I was wondering why this strange
person. Whole thing's fake.
I don't think the whole thing's fake. I think that everyone knows damn good and well that they're.
But there's at least a chance.
That if they talk about how they need $25,000 so that they can get their third kid through college, they're probably going to get $25,000 at the end of the episode and a promotion through a training program.
Yeah.
I like the episodes where the undercover boss is fired because he sucks. When they bring him out to do the menial tasks that are the backbone of his company, he's awful at them, and they tell him to go home.
Hi, I'm Carl. I'm just here to be a trainee with Dunkin' Donuts. Can you show me how to run the fryer and tell me about any personal traumas in your life that someone might be able to fix with some cash?
I'd like to learn how to run the fryer, preferably from a single mother struggling to make ends meet.
35 minutes later, we're going to give you your own franchise. So Carol was good at filling the donuts with the cream, so we gave her own restaurant.
Let me get this straight. You've been working for this company for 42 years, and you're still on the line. They have, even though you do everything here. And
never gave me a raise.
Basically manage the entire store by yourself. All right, well. You're the manager now. Congratulations.
I'm going to send you to Hawaii for two weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Working Girl. It's all the plot of Working Girl with Melanie Griffith.
Stupid. I still watch it. I still watch it. It's easy to make fun of, and I still watch it.
Some of the companies, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel for some of these companies, though, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of times it's a company I've never heard of.
Never heard of the company. They got, you know, oh, really, this company exists, and they have that many employees? Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard
of this
company.
It sort of reminds me of how they used to do on The Apprentice. You know, they would have the contestants lined up there at the start of the challenge, and then Donald Trump would come in and say,
Now, today you're going to be working with McAllister Office Supplies. They are the biggest manufacturer of paper clips in the world. And all the contestants are like nodding like, oh, of course. Who doesn't know McAllister Office Supplies?
Towards the end, though, sometimes they'd come out and they go, today you're going to be working with Smith Consolidated Products. They are the number one supplier of Consolidated Products in the Poughkeepsie area.
Went a little downhill. Went a little downhill.
Oh, Poughkeepsie. Woo.
It's a very nice town.
Because it was always someplace. Because you know, it was always someplace in New York. It was never. They never really left Manhattan.
No, it was in New York during Trump's entire run. It only moved out west.
I know, but all the companies and stuff they had to do for had New York presence. Today, you're going to be selling pizza for Original Famous Rays, not Famous Rays, but Original Famous Rays.
This is one little pizza store.
Whoever can sell the most Gray's papaya wins.
And then. And then Eric Estrada gets on the line and tries to sell a single slice to some famous buddy for $10,000.
If you come down and buy one slice, man, everybody will come down.
But you got to be here by 3.
Yeah, Bill. And then the clock's ticking.
Yeah.
It's 2:58. Where is he? Anyway, memories.
That's right. I've got a story here out of Canada. A young lady just recently celebrated her 18th birthday. Her name is Charlie Lagarde. Charlie Lagarde.
Oh, okay.
She lives just
named after.
Just south of just south of Montreal. 18th birthday, and so the first thing she did on her birthday was she went down to the local convenience store and she bought herself some wine because that's a legal drinking age there. She bought herself some wine and a lottery ticket. She bought a scratch off lottery ticket.
Okay, so she just
$4 scratch off.
She's just like, I'm officially 18. Let's get going on those vices. Woohoo!
That's right.
Time to descend into the dark side.
She started in right away with it.
Gambling and alcoholism. I'm on my way.
On her $4 scratch off lottery ticket, she won $1,000 a week for the rest of her life.
Oh, okay.
She had the option of taking...
So you're saying it was beginner's luck?
Yes. She had the option of accepting
a lump... It's not just beginner's luck. It's luck.
She had the option of getting a lump sum $1 million payout or the $1,000 a week for life. She spoke with a financial advisor.
So $52,000 a year or $1 million up front.
Yeah, they said take the $1,000 a week forever.
Yeah.
Hope you live longer than 20 years.
You're only 18. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean...
By the way, it's also tax-free.
Really?
Yeah.
It's $1,000 even a week.
Yeah.
No.
They said it's without taxes, so it's the equivalent to a salary of more than $100,000 a year.
You know,
a great start in life for that young lady, it says.
I don't like it.
What do you mean you don't like it?
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
Just giving $1,000 a week to 18-year-olds, that's the best thing ever.
Somebody's got to win.
Somebody's got to win.
You know who should win?
Who?
That struggling mother from Undercover Boss.
Geez. Yeah, the fry cook from Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, Charlie Lagarde says she has big travel plans, but also told lottery officials that she wants to study photography and hopes to work one day for National Geographic.
Okay. Well, she'll go viral on Twitter and have a job offer by 2 o'clock Tuesday.
I'm sure National Geographic will say, you can pay your own airfare, lady.
Sure. Do we have to pay you to work here? Little Miss Lottery winner. All right. A break here. When we come back, Carnival Cruise Lines is stalking a 15-year-old boy. What? Are they allowed in the mall anymore? Also, what's going on around Columbus this week? We will tell you as we continue with Over the Line here. News Radio 610 WTVN. What is the low supposed to be tonight? What is the low?
Tonight?
Yeah.
32.
Oh, okay. It just seems like...
It's going to snow, too.
And suddenly there's going to be a whole bunch of snow.
Well, as Prince said, sometimes it snows in April.
Yeah. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. Our friend Ed Francis with us as well.
It's not going to be that kind of snow that sticks and causes all the headaches, though.
Not even in the morning, you don't think?
No.
It's not going to be that kind of snow.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a different kind of snow.
What kind of snow?
That's going to be the kind that doesn't stick.
the surface temperature, like your
like your Teflon snow.
It's going to be It's like it's like flex tape snow. If you cut your boat in half, this snow won't put it back together.
The surface temperatures, the roadways, they've warmed up. It's been relatively warm the last week or so.
Yeah,
we're out of winter. We've got the angle of the sun working for us. It's gonna accumulate mostly in the grassy areas.
It's gonna be like that.
Not to say that there won't be slow traffic
in
the morning,
but
it's not going to be
the bridges ice before the roads.
The Lloyd Bridges?
Yeah. What about Lloyd Bridges?
What about the Nash Bridges?
No, what about Jeff Bridges? What about the bridges? Are we going to be concerned about the bridges, or is the bridges going to be okay?
Well, that's for you, Ed.
Well, I mean, I would err on the side of caution regardless, but I'm saying that, you see there's 2 to 3 inches that causes mayhem, and then there's 2 to 3 inches that's more of an inconvenience. I would group this as an inconvenience.
So 2 to 3 inches, when my girls wake up and think they're getting a snow day,
they're not getting a snow day. No.
I'll let them know. This is how I'll let them know. Snow day! Nope, Ed said no.
Well, late April Fools.
You mean it's going to be...
Ed said no! You're going to school!
You mean it's
going
to be like the snow who was a white rapper in the 90s? It's not going to catch on? It's not going to... It's just going to just dissipate?
Sure.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
It'll...
You remember the rapper Snow?
No, I don't.
He had one hit song.
Did he?
It was terrible. It was called Informer.
I think you guys just make things up sometimes.
The only as I remember that song, it went Informer. Da 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 da. I don't remember that song very well.
Wow, what a catchy hit.
That's why he didn't last. That's why he didn't last.
It is okay. It is a real song.
It's a real thing.
1992.
Darren Kenneth O'Brien, better known by his stage name Snow, is a Canadian reggae artist. He is best known for his 1992 single Informer, which spent 7 weeks at number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. 1992, so I was a junior in high school. That's probably why I wasn't listening to Canadian reggae.
I'm 1 year older than you.
I understand that, but I was a junior in high school and wasn't really into Canadian reggae.
Oh, like I was into Canadian reggae.
Apparently you were. Oh. You knew about it.
What station here in Columbus was I listening to Canadian reggae?
I don't know.
It was NCI. It was a pop. It was a big pop hit.
Okay, well, on junior high school.
Don't make me defend white rapper Snow from 1992.
I was Mr. Alt Rock, listening to The Cure and Depeche Mode and that sort of stuff. So
yeah, I was all what's popular. Then I'll like
it. If it wasn't the Pixies, I wasn't listening to it.
All right, fine. Lots going on around Columbus in the coming week. Hockey. How about the Blue Jackets hosting the Red Wings on Tuesday night?
How about that?
Blue Jackets also in action Thursday night. They'll host the Pittsburgh Penguins.
They can clinch a playoff spot Tuesday.
Can they?
Yeah. Got to have a couple games go our way between now and then. But...
And the Red Wings are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Also Thursday night, Brad Paisley performing at the Schottenstein Center. Comedian Mark Norman at the Funny Bone, a four-night run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. You've got the Columbus Home Improvement Show at the Ohio Expo Center Friday through Sunday. Jay Leno is at the Palace Theater next Saturday night. And the Eagles 1 week from tonight over at Nationwide Arena.
Excellent. I love Jay Leno.
His stand-up's very good.
Yeah.
Joe and I saw him in Vegas.
Yeah.
I saw him the last time he was in Columbus a few years back. It was a 90-minute monologue, but I loved
that's
every
exactly
every
what
minute.
It is.
I hope at his Columbus show he has that same opener he had in Vegas. What were they called? 5-on-1 or something?
No. They were terrible.
It was an a cappella group.
They were an a cappella group. They were called Mosaic.
Mosaic.
And
but
the
wasn't
S,
this was a 5.
The S was a number 5. Because there were 5 of them in the group. And every time they do a solo, it was like turning to somebody else in the band and saying, "You're trying to come up here and suck." I mean, they were terrible.
They were featured on America's Got Talent.
And spoiler alert, they didn't win.
And somehow they finagled that into an opening slot at Treasure Island for Jay Leno. So good for them for getting that
far. Well, maybe
far.
The other opener had canceled.
Maybe.
And I think what happened
was... And they went outside and went, "Oh, there's these guys. We can get them in here. They've been sitting at this corner with an empty hat
Put your hats away.
I think what happened was Leno took one look at his opener and went, "Time for me to start getting out of that biz."
I don't know why, but I get this impression you have a great Leno impression. I don't intend to put you on the spot, no?
I don't. Mm. I just have a fat chin.
Mm. Well, you had the same snark.
Maybe. I can see that a little bit. Also, I like dumb things in the newspaper.
Have you guys ever been on a cruise? Have either of you guys been on a cruise?
No.
Nope.
Nope. All right. Well, Carnival Cruise is a cruise line.
Sorry.
Would it help if I said yes?
Have you heard of Carnival Cruise, cruise ships? Have you heard of cruises? Do you know
what
they do?
Used to be Kathy Lee Gifford.
It's a hotel out on the water.
Yeah.
Carnival Cruise is one of the world's largest cruise lines, and they rolled into a small Virginia town this week on the hunt for a local teen because they wanted to take his Snapchat handle, which was at Carnival Cruise. The company surprised 15-year-old Darren Lipscomb at his Virginia home on Tuesday night after peppering the town with signs asking, "Hey, Prospect Virginia, does anyone know Darren?" The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports the company offered to trade Lipscomb a free trip for his family aboard its newest ship, the Carnival Horizon, in exchange for his Snapchat handle. The net worth of the trip is about $5,000. Organizers say Lipscomb will receive customized surprises.
Oh, he did it?
Yeah.
He took the deal?
He took
Stupid.
The deal.
Stupid.
Yeah, organizers say Lipscomb will receive customized surprises throughout the trip, which will be documented on the cruise's social channels.
No.
The Dispatch reports the company said the trade was a fun way to claim the handle and reward a super fan.
It was an easy way.
Darren is a big fan of the cruises, and that's why he chose the handle at Carnival Cruise. Now, I remember back in the 90s, when the internet was starting to explode, people would buy domain names and hold them hostage.
That's what this kid did.
No, that's not what he did.
But yeah, he did.
And yes, he did.
What do they call him, Carnival Cruise at school?
Maybe. Maybe. But that you can't really do that anymore because people started suing and the court started siding with the company.
It sort of started with like the WWE, WWF
right.
thing.
Right, but I remember there was I remember
it did.
I remember Pizza Hut. I think Pizza Hut paid this like millions of dollars for pizza.com. So these guys started buying up these domains, holding them hostage in order to get money to extort from companies. The company started suing for, you know, trademark stuff like this. And so the court started siding with the companies. So holding these names hostage anymore isn't a very lucrative thing. So this kid getting $5,000 worth of a free cruise is probably decent.
Okay. I've got a lot of problems with all this.
First of all.
Hurry up. You only got about a minute.
Okay. First of all. Way to go, Carnival Cruise, for jumping on Instagram in April of 2018.
It's Snapchat.
Or whatever it is. Second, this kid has had this for a while, I have no doubt, and I'm sure when he signed up for it, he hoped something like this would happen.
Did you just criticize someone for jumping on Instagram when you're not even on Instagram?
I don't do
Snapchat.
I don't do Snapchat either. And also, the customized gift that they're going to give this kid is they're going to deliver a bucket of suckers to his port room.
I have a problem with them calling it a fun thing. It's not fun. It's cheap, and it was easy, and they took advantage of a... How old is he?
He's 15.
They took advantage of a teenager.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Wow.
Well, but in fairness, he was trying to take advantage of them.
No, he wasn't.
But he didn't do it right.
No, he wasn't.
Come
if he was
on.
Trying to take advantage of them, he wouldn't have settled for 15 grand or for 5 grand worth of cruise.
Hence, they took advantage of him. He was 15 years old.
But
he
you're saying he's trying
deal.
To take advantage
There's
of
no
them, and if he was
situation.
Trying to take advantage of them, he would have held out for more.
He should have. He did it wrong.
He messed up.
He had the worst of intentions and didn't do it right. Kid needs an agent.
Wow. Okay. Well, you get on that. Call him up and say, let's renege.
I'm sorry if I see the worst in people. When we come back, food news. Also, out of Iowa, what? A federal judge says one place is stinky. Is that fair? Can be called stinky. All right, details ahead. After your top of the hour news here as Over the Line continues on this Sunday night on News Radio 610 WTVN.
I said shake, rattle, and roll. 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 Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul.
News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. It's Over the Line. On this Sunday night, we come to you every Sunday night from 7 to 9, taking a look back at the week in review. Some lighter stuff from the news, pop culture, entertainment, sports, all kinds of stories in there. Jack, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Our buddy Ed Francis with us as well tonight.
Yeah. Happy Easter, guys. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Yeah.
Happy April Fool's Day.
And that, too. Did anybody get you?
No. Nobody got me as of right now.
Anybody try?
My daughters tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody get you, Ed?
Yeah, about an hour ago.
That's funny.
You can listen to that hour on the iHeartRadio app when we load this show for download later.
Yes. And also, because I'll forget to mention it later, anyone who wants to keep up with the show on social media, go to Facebook, and it's just OTL Show. and we'll be there. I'm currently in negotiations with a 15-year-old from Georgia to see if we can get a Snapchat.
Oh, okay. Well, because he already took our handle.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Food news.
Food news.
This is from Forbes. Having put together beers with everything from Oreos to whale testicles, the industry has now come up with what seems like the perfect beer for Easter. It is Peeps flavored beer.
Nope.
Anybody like Peeps?
I like Peeps and I like beer, but I don't know.
You don't want Peeps? Peeps flavored beer. Jack?
No. No. No, thank you.
Hard pass.
Collective Brewing Project out of Dallas is behind the new concoction. It is called Peep This Collab. The beer is made in conjunction with a local bar, Lone Star Taps and Caps. It is described as a sour ale. It contains more than...
sour, all right, sure.
Contains more than 30 boxes of Peeps.
Oh!
Too much.
As well as...
Take it back.
As well as edible glitter to make it shine.
Oh, geez.
The taste is described as marshmallowy and lightly tart.
Oh, and disgusting and yeah, no.
They should just write disgusting on the bottle.
It may say that.
Yeah, they
back.
Should.
Gross.
That's the best label they could put. Do not attempt.
Peeps beer. It sounds like someone's just trying too hard.
Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Someone's trying too hard in 2018.
Yeah.
Well, I never.
Go figure. One of the biggest fast food things so far this year has been Taco Bell's Nacho Fries.
I knew it.
Did you know that?
I love them.
Have you had
when Ed was on a show, he had just had some, and we talked to Ed about it.
And Ed liked them.
Yeah,
that was many weeks ago.
I like them. Have you had them yet, Jack?
No, I don't eat a Taco Bell.
You should.
I don't.
You're missing out on nacho fries.
I don't go to Taco Bell. There's no reason other than I just don't go to Taco Bell, so I've not had them yet.
It says limited time on their menu. Well, there's no way.
Here's a diversion,
by the
way.
I'll take your guys' word for it.
Here's a diversion, by the way. So the number one reason I go to the Taco Bell in Grandview is because there's nowhere to park at the Chipotle in Grandview, which is right next door.
Yeah.
But last night I went to the Chipotle because I was out getting something and there was a parking space. So I went to the Chipotle in Grandview. They were out of taco shells. It's Chipotle. How did you run out of taco shells? Am I wrong in thinking that's absurd?
Wasn't it a few weeks back that there was a KFC that ran out of chicken and we were talking about
that? No, that was every KFC in the UK.
No, yeah.
It wasn't a KFC.
That was all of them?
It was all of them in the entire United Kingdom.
But I listened.
But am I wrong in thinking that's ridiculous that they were out of taco shells?
Well, were they out or were there? Because they have a process for their taco shells.
Yeah. Well, apparently it failed.
What day was this?
Yesterday.
Yes, so it was Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, they could be getting down to the end of the week. The shipments probably don't come in until Monday.
No, they make them there. They make them there. And they ran out.
Okay, well, because
I had
they
to
didn't
stand
plan
there,
very well.
Because I had to stand there for 10 minutes. Well, they made more taco shells and watched like 8 customers go around me in the line.
Well, why didn't you just?
Why
get
didn't
a bowl?
You just? Why didn't you go to the end of the line and wait? Why did you have to? Why did you stand in the middle of the line?
Now, what you're missing is the point, which is why didn't they make enough taco shells?
No, I understand
they
that.
Did. They just weren't ready yet.
They weren't ready yet.
10 minutes.
I understand that they
it's
like
a process.
Ed said they have a process. Why didn't you just get a soft taco shell?
It also was
or
not
a burrito.
It also was not
or
brought
a bowl,
to their. They,
or a salad.
It also escaped their attention that they were out of taco shells until I ordered tacos.
Well, they didn't plan very well, and that's on
what
them.
Saying.
What's on you is that you stood in everybody else's way. Because when I go to Chipotle, I get the steak quesadilla, which takes a while to make. And so after I order it and pay for it, I go all the way to the end of the line, so I'm not standing in the middle of everybody's way.
I wouldn't have brought this up if I'd known I was going to be in the wrong.
Well, you were.
I feel like we were both in the wrong.
I would say yes.
Okay.
They definitely did not do their part. They didn't have the thing you wanted.
To their credit, they gave me my tacos for free.
Well, then there you go. Then, hey, then,
well,
why are you bitching at all?
Yeah.
Because I had to wait.
Oh, man.
I was inconvenienced.
Okay.
And you were compensated.
And then you were
more than properly.
But I'm just throwing that out there.
I would say this is a great commercial for that Chipotle that they stepped up to the plate.
That they gave me the free tacos.
They gave you the free tacos for the inconvenience. That's all great on them. Yeah. So only you were wrong.
Oh, they have good customer service. Oh, I'm going to
I'm going to complain about it.
Take a big crap on it.
Three tacos because I had to wait an extra 10 minutes.
They turned a negative into
I could have got a salad. I could have got a
big deal. I could have got a soft taco. I really wanted a Peeps beer.
I could have got a case of beer.
They turned a negative into a positive, but there was that negative.
Oh, you're just.
But at the end of the day, it was a positive.
At the end of the day, sure.
Oh, but you're just going to dwell on the beginning?
No, I just wanted to say it.
So, I think you need to go so the ends, 765 so with for you, the tacos.
So with you, it's not the ends justify the means. It's what happened in the middle.
Well, I got to keep my $8.
You know, they didn't have to do that either. Were you expecting that?
That they were going to give it to me for free?
Yeah.
I was going to ask for it.
You were gonna, when they ate the tacos, you're going to go, do you really going to make me pay for these?
Yeah, I would have.
Okay.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Well, I'm glad they stepped up before you had a chance to demand free food.
Well, anyway. Nacho fries.
They're good.
Nacho fries at Taco Bell appeared earlier this year to much fanfare owing to their $1 price tag and delightful pairing with liquid cheese. This is from Food Beast. This is from our friends at Food Beast.
Food Beast!
And they are set to disappear from the chain's menu this coming week.
No!
Well, yes. I guess I might have to make a trip.
No!
The Nacho Fries debuted January 25th and quickly became a runaway hit, largely due to their crispy seasoned finish, served with a side of warm nacho cheese dipping sauce. In the times I've had them, they've always been delicious, and I've not had to wait.
I did.
Son of a.
I did like the ad campaign with Josh Duhamel. I thought that was very well done.
Taco Bell announced on Friday that customers have one more week to get their hands on the menu item before they go into hibernation. Taco Bell's plan was to pull nacho fries a lot earlier, but because of skyrocketing demand, the fries lasted on the menu. The company claims it sold more than 53 million orders. The demise of nacho fries is grim news for an upsetting world, sure, but Taco Bell has confirmed they'll be making a return sometime this summer.
Great, so now this is going to end up being like those stupid McRib people. Like, when the McRib comes back, they all lose their freaking minds.
I won't do that. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not a McRib guy.
When the nacho fries show up at Taco Bell again, Ed's going to suddenly become weird.
Ed,
that wasn't fair. Let me take that bet. Ed's suddenly going to become weirder.
Weird, thank you.
I never understand these for a limited time only things that show up on a menu.
I can understand that. What I can't understand is when in their own press release they say, well, we're going to take these away despite their wild success of 53 million sold.
Is there a potato shortage I don't know about? And in the case of the McRib,
not since the
maybe they're trying to
Ireland.
Prevent a potato shortage.
In the case of the McRib, doesn't everybody go, they think everybody goes crazy when the McRib comes out? Why do you take it away?
I don't think the McRib's
real meat.
Hello,
Idaho, this is Taco Bell. You got plenty? Okay. Well, we're still going to take them.
It's going to be 3 months.
We'll see if they come back at a dollar.
They won't. They won't.
$1.29.
They won't. That's how they. It'll be how they get you.
Cheap sons of.
It'll be something like that. $1.29.
That's how
you
they
watch.
Get you. They take
that's
them
exactly
away.
Right.
They bring them back. It'll be a dollar, but the cheese sauce, the liquid cheese, will cost a quarter.
Now let me say this though: when the nacho fries come back, are you still going to be upset that they disappeared?
I would still get them.
No, but will you be
upset? I don't mean to be the guy who
will
always
you demand,
talks.
Okay, now since there's going to be
I demand free taco
will there
shells?
Be, since there's going to be an inconvenient wait for the next time you can get them, are you going to demand that you get them for free?
I was trying to find a way that I could come out a hero in this whole thing.
See, what I'll do is I'll take the Joe Jewett approach, and when they tell me, it's going to be 3 to 5 months before we have nacho fries back.
You're just going
to
stand in line? Everybody can go around.
Everybody go around me. I'm going to be standing here until June.
But I will not be leaving the drive-thru. That's really going to
put
them.
That's problematic.
Well,
that's going to be an inconvenience for some folks.
Not as inconvenient as the lack of nacho fries.
Well.
And I hate to be that guy, but as someone who doesn't eat meat, Taco Bell. I used to make fun of the person who would talk about being vegetarian, but now I am that person. And
they have other things.
What I'm saying. Taco Bell, for me, I mean, it is just tremendously friendly to the vegetarian lifestyle.
Sure.
You can get beans instead of beef on anything there.
You can.
Let's move on. I've got somebody on the phone we should talk to.
All right. Well, who is it?
It's my sister-in-law who's a librarian.
What?
Andrea, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi guys.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, thank you.
You're talking to me, you're also talking to Joe, and you're also talking to our friend Ed.
Oh, hello. Hi, Joe and Ed.
Do you like the nacho fries at Taco Bell?
I have not had the pleasure of trying those yet.
Well, you're running out of time.
Yeah, they're gone off the menu on Friday.
Uh-oh, I better get there.
Yeah, make a run for the border, and soon.
That's exactly.
I like their commercials. I think that's been.
See, I told you the Josh Duhamel commercials were a hit.
See, I've not seen those, so I don't know.
Do you like the commercials, or do you like Josh Duhamel in the commercials?
Yes.
So the reason why I asked Andrew to come on the show is that we had her on a few, it was back in November, was it?
Something like that.
It was November. Yeah.
It was November. She's
if you were my sister-in-law, I'd have you on more frequently.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I'm not that exciting. I'm sorry.
I apologize, Andrea, and tell the nephews I'm sorry.
Yes.
She's part of CBUS Library's social events, and they had one back in November, and now they're having another one, which is happening at this really great new place that my wife went to recently and was raving about. It's called Pins Mechanical. So, Andrea, tell us what's going on with this one.
Sure. So in honor of National Library Week, which is the week of April 8th, we are having a Library Workers Appreciation Evening at Pins Mechanical, about the downtown location. And we'll have two lanes of the Duck Pen Bowling available, and they have food trucks and beer and things like that. So for our event, we are selling tickets on our website, and that'll support underrepresented librarians at Kent State University, and it'll be from 5:30 to 7 on April 10th. That's a week from Tuesday.
And the Pins Mechanical downtown is at 141 North 4th Street?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and again, this is going to be on Tuesday, April 10th from 5:30 to 7:30. Pins Mechanical is really cool. Have you had a chance to go there yet?
I have. I'm looking forward to going back. The bowling's a lot of fun. It's not traditional bowling. It's the smaller ball, and the pins are on strings. So it's fun to
Now, the location my wife went to, they also had all sorts of other crazy games. Does the one downtown have more than just bowling?
Yeah. They have pinball and a bunch of arcade games. They have the giant Jenga and I think some other free games you can just play when they're available. So it's pretty fun.
I'm all about pinball.
I like pinball too. Yeah, bring your quarters, definitely.
Now, now this is to support underrepresented future librarians. What is an underrepresented future librarian?
So we're actually partnering with Kent State University. My co-founder of CBUS Libraries and I are both Kent State graduates, and so they have a scholarship fund for LGBT plus students, and that's where we'll direct our proceeds from this event.
Is Kent State the Zips? What are they?
Golden Flashes.
The Golden Flashes. That's right. Yes. That's right. The Golden Flashes. I think is Toledo the no? Toledo the Rockets.
Rockets. Yeah.
Is it Akron? Yeah. Is Akron the Zips?
Zips.
Thank you, Bed. Ed's all about the Mac. He knows all about the Mac teams. And so the last one you guys did back in November. I hope that it was more of a reading event, wasn't it?
Yeah, $2 Radio over on Parsons Avenue. And it was a great event. We had a really nice turnout, and we asked everyone to bring a copy of their favorite children's book, and we donated that to an organization in Central Ohio for children's literacy.
Now, you also mentioned food trucks, and I'm looking on the website. It says Machi Hibachi and Taquitos Tacos.
Yeah, that's what we'll be hanging out there that night. And then we're going to bring some snacks for our guests.
No, I need you to make a request for Taquitos Tacos. Make sure they have plenty of taco shells, because if Joe shows up and don't, he's going to demand that they give him his food for free.
Be ready for him. All right. Keep that in mind.
You're getting a bad rap.
Now, do you have to be 21 to go to this event? Because they do have libations.
That's right. If you come through our event, tickets are $10, and that does include a craft or domestic beer, and then those snacks and free bowling.
Okay, great. And then I'm seeing the website I got to is eventbrite.com.
That's correct. If you go to our Facebook page, though, there'll be links to that as well. And that's just CBUS Libraries on Facebook.
All right. Well, Andrea, thanks for coming on again to talk about it. I thought the event back in November was cool. And then when I saw that you guys were doing it again and you were doing it at Pins Mechanical, I was like, well, this place is, you know, they're trending. They're going viral.
It's this
really cool new concept. Well, really cool new concept of old stuff. But they're doing it in a really great new way. And I thought that was really cool that you guys were setting up shop there for your next event.
We really appreciate them hosting us. It's great. And thank you for letting me come on and talk about it.
Oh, it's no problem. So once again, just make sure I got this right. April 10th from 5:30 to 7 at Pins Mechanical at 141 North 4th Street. Tickets are only $10, and just go to Facebook and look for CBUS Library Social, right?
Yes, thank you. That's exactly right.
All right, well, you have a great rest of your Easter. Were you pranked today at all? Because it's also April Fool's Day.
Calvin tried, but it didn't work. So.
That didn't work.
Wait, what was the well, I want to know.
He's
what
only,
was,
what, five?
Yeah.
Andrea, what was the failed prank? I want to know what the failed prank was.
He told us, I think he just made up a story, and now I don't remember what it was, so I'm sorry. It's kind of a letdown, but he told us something that was not true. Kind of just lying, actually.
It's a, yes, I was gonna say, it's a lie the other 364 days of the year, right. But on April 1, it's a prank.
Well played, kid.
All right, well, Andrea, thanks again, and then we look forward to hearing about the next event, and we wish you all the best with this one.
Absolutely. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we've got a break to get to here. When we come back, we will talk about that that federal judge declaring an Iowa town can be called stinky. And also, a Vegas woman says, I am not a stripper. More as we continue here on Over the Line. It's News Radio 610 WTVN.
610 WTVN. WTVN.
It's Over the Line on 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, our friend Ed Francis with us as well tonight. Popcorn War is coming up after 8:30.
Correct. And right now I've got a story coming to us from Des Moines, Iowa. Dateline Des Moines. An Iowa man has threatened was threatened by officials of the city of Des Moines with legal action for saying on a website that his hometown smelled like, quote, rancid dog food. Well, he won a free speech lawsuit Thursday when a federal judge prohibited the city from further threats and awarded him damages.
Who were they saying? What? He was threatening who?
So he went on a website, yeah, and he said that Des Moines smells like rancid dog food.
Yeah.
So the city of Des Moines threatened to sue him.
Okay.
So he said, nana, nana, boo, boo.
So he preemptively.
And so he countersued, okay, yeah, and he got damages. Oh. And not only did he get damages, but a federal judge said that Des Moines guy has to leave him alone, and he has every right to say you're stinky.
Oh.
Josh Harms, represented the American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa, filed a suit in U.S. District Court earlier this month asking the judge to block Des Moines officials from suing him. City officials said they'd sue if he didn't stop criticizing the town's odor problem from Iowa Drying and Processing, which makes a high-protein animal food supplement from pig blood.
Oh, well, of course.
It's also number one on their tourist,
I'm sure,
their tourist website. Come see where all the pig blood is turned into dog food.
Wish you were here.
The company moved to a vacant building in the suburb of Sibley in 2013 and began publishing his protest website in 2015. Because the town is stinky. In December, the city's attorney, Daniel DeCotter, sent him a letter saying he was hurting the community with his website and threatened a lawsuit if he didn't stop. Judge Leonard Strand approved on Thursday a permanent injunction agreed to by both the city and Harm. So they kind of settled this out of court a little bit after the judge told the city they were going to lose. Attorneys for the city did not immediately respond to messages. Court documents indicate while city officials do not admit to every allegation in the plaintiff's complaint about our harassment, the parties jointly stipulate the facts contained in the accompanying proposal of the injunction. So the injunction prohibits the city from making further threats of suing him. It allows him to talk to reporters and to continue to publish websites critical of the odor.
Do
specifically
they
the odor.
Do they admit that they are stinky?
No.
Oh.
They are going to have to pay him $6,500 in damages and $20,000 in legal fees, issue a written apology, and hold First Amendment training for the city staff.
Well, that's funny, actually.
Apparently,
not enough.
Apparently, the city staff was the scuttlebutt here is that they were sending him direct messages and stuff that were pretty nasty.
He ran up $20,000 in legal fees,
yeah,
to win a $6,500 settlement.
Yeah, and but he doesn't. But he's up $6,500 in the whole thing. But apparently, so the city officials were like really nasty to him, and
about as nasty as that smell.
Yeah, and so he had a bunch of documents and stuff that he went to court with to say, hey, look, this is what they're saying to me and what they're saying they're going to do to me, and the judge was like, yeah, no, that's not good.
What kind of stuff are they going to do to him?
It didn't say in the article.
Make him inhale.
It just alluded that maybe more than pig's blood was going to go into the next batch of dog food, if you know what I mean.
Dog food is people. From Las Vegas, a young woman named Brittany Greenback is suing a strip club because they took her picture and then promoted her as a stripper without her approval.
Oops.
Says Brittany has a passion for helping the homeless, which is why she worked at two different nonprofits at the same time. But you know, there's not a lot of money working for these nonprofits. So she also worked as an atmosphere model. So basically she would go do promotional events for different things. And as an atmosphere model, Greenback would be contracted to go to events. And her very first gig was at the pool at the club Sapphire. She was hired to promote Red Stripe beer. She says she was 21 years old. It was her first job. It was a celebrity party. 50 Cent was there. That ought to give you an idea.
Was Snow there?
I don't know. No, Snow wasn't there. He couldn't afford the ticket. And at the event, there was a body paint artist, and the company she was working for said, if you want to get body painted, you should. So she went topless and had a new bikini top painted on. Someone took a photo of her, and she said
she stripped.
She said she didn't think twice about it. Now, there apparently during the day, it is not a strip place, but at nighttime, it becomes a strip place. And this party was during the day. Okay. So she got her photo taken, whatever. She says, then my friend Snapchatted me, and the Snapchat was of a flyer at the pool with basically my body, my face, and then they cut out the Red Stripe logo on the bikini and advertised her as a Sapphire girl. So they were trying to say, hey, come meet this stripper at Sapphire. And she's like, but I'm not a stripper.
Even though I just stripped.
So she filed a lawsuit. Well, she tried to get them to just stop promoting the thing, but they wouldn't. And so now
she must have had a nice.
For 3 years.
I've Googled.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
For 3 years, they've been using her image on flyers.
Our company computers. Awesome. Thank you.
On flyers, TV, billboards, online, social media, their website, just about anything they could do for advertising, she says. The worst part, she says, is that she did not. She knowingly posed for the photo, but had no idea how it would be used in that way, and that she's Mormon and she's embarrassed her family.
She's Mormon?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she wants $100,000 in damages.
Jeez. Okay. No.
I'm
sorry. The Carnival Cruise guy wasn't fleecing anybody, but this lady sure is.
Well, they're kind of wrong too.
They are kind of wrong. All she has them on is if she didn't sign a model release form. That's all she can get them for.
Yeah.
She didn't sign a model release form, then yeah, they can't use her image without her permission. But $100,000.
Well, also keep your top on.
Exactly. You can't
pose for a photo in
exactly.
public.
Exactly. You can't sit there and go, "I'm not a stripper," even though I just stripped and had my picture taken
in public.
Yeah. During the day.
Bottom line
Sapphire.
Is.
Or excuse me, as Joe puts it, Sapphire.
Sapphire. I'm more excited for our trip to Vegas.
We're not going to Sapphire.
You looking to find her, are you?
All right, bottom of the hour news here. And when we come back, Popcorn Wars. You're listening to Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, our friend Ed Francis, sitting in with us as well. Your top movies at the box office over the weekend. Number 5 was Pacific Rim Uprising, which was number 1 last week. So,
yeah, that doesn't bode well, does it?
No, it does not. Number 4 was that Christian movie I can only imagine is still hanging around in there.
That's been in the top 5 for what? 5 or 6 weeks now?
3 or 4, yeah, something like that. Number 3, Black Panther. Still bringing in some money. Number 2, I don't know anything about this. Tyler Perry's Acrimony. Is that one of these Tyler Perry dramas?
No, yeah, it's sort of it's kind of like a noir thriller, you know, cheating wife and husband of who's a crap, you know, it's I saw is it Therese Henson? Is that her name?
Yeah.
She was on the 4th hour of the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda, and they were talking about it. And she was talking about how they filmed the whole movie in 18 days.
Probably shows.
But apparently, but it's Tyler Perry, and he generally does a good job with his movies.
Number one at the box office, Ready Player One, brought in $41 million this weekend.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so there you go. Famous birthdays.
I can edit that later. I'm sorry, I'm writing down movies. Go on.
Famous birthdays today. Let's see how you guys do here.
I've won the last two times.
I don't think you're going to win this one.
Oh.
I mean, no offense.
Jeez, Ed, sorry.
April Fools?
Former SNL star. He was Trump before Alec
Daryl
Baldwin.
Daryl Hammond.
No, before Alec Baldwin. Taron Killam.
Oh.
Jack.
44.
46.
36.
Oh. Wow. Sorry, Taron.
Baseball Hall of Famer Phil Niekro, Ed.
Ooh, 70.
Jack.
78.
79. Uh-oh. From the Supreme Court, Samuel Alito, Ed.
Alito. 63.
Yeah, 66.
68. And finally from...
Finally.
MSNBC, Rachel Maddow.
43.
48.
Jack, 45.
All right.
Well, you won. He was right.
Okay, I guess.
Let's play Popcorn Wars.
I don't even know what you have to do to win that game.
It's got to be right.
Huh?
You got to be right more than the other person.
But none of it, we weren't right on any of them.
You were closer on three of the four.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Well, then that
Phil Niekro is what cost me.
I think so.
Sorry. He's from Ohio.
Did you know who Sam Alito was, or could I have said Baseball Hall of Famer Samuel Alito?
No, I know, okay. I know all nine of the justices. Thank
Do you?
I believe so.
Do it.
Okay, Alito.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's right.
John Roberts.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting who I've already named now. dang it!
There's two more women.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Yep.
There's, what am I, I'm at five?
That's five. Four to go, fancy pants.
It's probably more than most people can
one
name.
Another girl starts with a K.
Elena Kagan.
Yep.
There's a guy who's the same name as a president.
What is this, a tag team on the Supreme Court?
I'm at six. You said, what was that?
He has the same name as a very famous president who was assassinated. He's usually the swing vote.
Well, narrow it down, Ed.
He's usually the swing vote.
Oh, Kennedy!
Kennedy, that's yeah. Seven.
Scalia, no, he's...
He's dead.
He's dead, yeah.
Who replaced him? Starts with a G.
Gene Simmons.
Trump got him on.
Yeah, I know. God, what is his name?
Not Al Gore, but...
It's not Al Gore. I can picture him.
This is the worst Popcorn Wars ever.
I can give him a clue,
I don't care. I've lost interest.
Neil Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch! And who am I forgetting?
And that would have been eight. Jack.
I can't remember who he named.
Did you say Roberts?
Yep. He said Roberts.
He's the chief.
Roberts.
Oh, not Alito, but the other one who was around Alito. That's who he's missing.
I thought you were looking at a list.
I'm not looking at a list.
No, I'm not looking at a list. Hell, I don't know.
All right, okay. Well, let's get to the actual Popcorn Wars game.
Stephen Breyer.
Breyer.
Oh, that's
right. Breyer's ice cream.
Yeah, it's okay. Delicious.
Yum.
Popcorn Wars works like this. Ed's going to give us the name of a performer, and then Jack and I are going to trade off back and forth naming the film credits of that performer until one of us can't do it anymore. Also, at some point, when Jack gets stuck, he can ask for a hint. So can I. And then Ed will give us, we'll pick one of this person's other film credits and give us the rest of the cast for that film, and that'll constitute our hint. Ed, who's our performer today?
I'd just first like to say that I'm proud of 5 out of 9. That's more than half. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Who goes first?
Let's have you go first.
You want me to go first?
I think so. You need all the help you can get.
I sure do.
Going first is kind of a disadvantage, though.
It is. It
How's
is.
It? No, it'd be, oh.
It's all right.
Mm.
Miracle.
Okay. I don't see how that's a disadvantage.
Miracle?
Yeah.
Miracle?
Was that the Miracle on Ice movie? He was the coach?
No, that was Kurt Russell.
Oh.
I can see.
Mulligan! I'm going to take a mulligan.
I can see now how it wasn't in it.
I'm gonna take a mulligan because otherwise we'll have too much time to fill in this program.
I'm glad I have an extra story.
Footloose. I say Footloose.
Okay.
I was thinking out loud when I said miracle.
He was thinking of what he would need to win this.
That's right. Footloose.
Okay, yes.
Inner space.
I've got four movies here, and now you've taken one of them.
Well, that's okay. You've technically already lost. Inner space.
Inner space, yes. 1987.
Jaws 3D.
What?
Yeah, that's correct. 1983.
What? That's correct?
Yes. Dennis Quaid, Louis Gossett Jr., Bess Armstrong. Yes.
July 22nd, 1983. It was number one at the box office.
When you see it on TV, it's Jaws 3. When you saw it in the drive-in movie I did, it was Jaws 3D.
Right. Okay. Wyatt Earp. He played Doc Holliday.
Yep.
Hint.
I want to... never mind. Okay, let's see. This is the year, right?
Okay.
It's the year and some other folks?
Sure.
Okay.
It's whatever information
just
you
get
got.
To it.
1999.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx, Cameron Diaz, Al Pacino.
Oh.
Directed by Oliver Stone.
Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday.
Oh, man. I didn't have that on my list. That's a good one. The Alamo. I think he was Davy Crockett.
The Alamo, yes.
Was he Davy Crockett or was he Jim Bowie?
I'm on a terrible website.
Yeah, Box Office Mojo doesn't tell you what role they play. But Wikipedia would.
And the only other thing I have here is I don't have the name of the film.
Okay, well, if you can describe the film in enough detail, I think that's okay. So you've already gotten a mulligan.
It was General Houston, by the way.
Oh, okay. He was Sam Houston. Yeah. Okay.
It was his recent dog movie.
Uh-huh.
I know the name of that one.
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So just dog is in the title. So come, it's a dog blank. Come close.
Dog's life.
That's close enough.
Close enough.
A dog's purpose.
Okay.
I can't watch dog movies.
That's the dog movie where the dog was hurt.
Rumored to be.
Yeah. Like, oh no! I watched The Thing. It was awful.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't like it.
And I didn't even have that on my list.
Well, I wasn't endorsing the film.
No. I'll never watch Marley and Me.
All right. Okay. Good.
Oh, that's.
I'm gonna go with Everybody's All American.
Yeah. What year?
That was in the 80s. Sometime. I'm gonna say what? 85.
88.
Oh. Okay. I still got it
tried
right.
to. I tried to buy him a couple extra seconds to.
He's not in The Player.
Actually, against all odds.
That was Jeff Bridges, and that was last week.
Maybe he was also in it.
No.
Well, that's all I have.
Against All Odds is James Woods, Alex Karras, Jeff Bridges, Raquel Ward.
Yeah, show off. What do you got?
A couple of. Oh. Yeah, I have to
get one more.
Yeah.
So I'd have this down by now. It's a movie about dragons. Sean Connery's got a horrible line in it.
How many do you know?
See, you know the movie. It's Dragonheart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. None of you.
I have no. Wait, hey. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more on my list.
Okay, because the top
on my list.
The only one from the top five gross that we have was Any Given Sunday, okay, which was the hint.
So I also wrote down The Rookie.
That was number four,
which is a baseball movie.
Yep.
Postcards from the Edge.
Still not top three.
Which is with Meryl Streep. Breaking Away, which is a fantastic movie from the early 70s.
Not a top three at the box.
Okay, define. DOA. Which is like him and Kim Basinger, and it's like this hot, steamy thing.
Nope.
All right. That might be The Big Easy. The Big Easy. The Express, which is a football movie. And then he was in one of those two G.I. Joe movies, but I don't know which one.
Rise of the Cobra, which was number two. You left out number three, Traffic, and number one, The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, The Day After Tomorrow. That's right, with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
I should have known that.
That's the one where the Statue of Liberty's head went rolling through the.
Mm-hmm.
Or was
I remember that.
Was that the Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Was that the.
That was the environmental
was
one.
I thought
Cloverfield was the one where the Statue of Liberty's head went rolling through Manhattan.
Yeah, she's gotten into trouble in a lot of movies.
Well, she's French.
That's right, she is. All right, we've got our last break here, and then when we come back, an animatronic T-Rex goes extinct, and fun times under the golden arches as we continue with here with no, I can't even talk.
We'll be back.
610 WTVN.
The rockin' best people in town.
News Radio 610 WTBN. Joe Jewett here. Jack DeVos as well. And our buddy Ed Francis. Ed, nice job on the weather tonight.
Oh, thanks.
Ed's a big weather fan.
I dabble.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I just really wanted say the word dabble.
Have you emailed Byron Scott and asked him for a job?
Byron Allen.
Oh, Byron Allen.
Byron Allen.
Byron Scott is the former NBA coach.
Oh, that's right.
Close.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
They're both tall.
And black.
And black.
We should have done basketball wars.
Yeah, we should have.
I could go basketball wars all day.
I would be out of that very quickly.
Well, you're out of popcorn.
You were out of popcorn wars pretty quick, too.
That's true.
It took you longer to wait for taco shells.
From New York State, two people under arrest after they were found having a nice time in a McDonald's parking lot in the middle of the afternoon last week. New York State police say it happened Thursday at about 12:20 p.m. at the McDonald's on Route 22 in the town of Dover.
12:20 p.m.?
Is that what I said?
Oh.
Yeah, 12:20 p.m. Police say they had received a call from a concerned citizen reporting, quote, inappropriate behavior from that location.
See something, say something.
Well, they saw something. When officers arrived, they say they found 30-year-old Vincent Sheely Jr. and 30-year-old Marissa Mongelli of Danbury, Connecticut, engaging in sexual intercourse in public view.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Keep that out of McDonald's.
Mary McCheese was...
The pair was arrested for misdemeanor public lewdness, and they were issued appearance tickets. I think they've already made their appearance. Thank you.
Birdie the early bird was shocked.
Yes.
Grimace was... Oh, hey.
Grimacing.
All right. Well, that's a great story. I've got one that's from Cannon City, Colorado. The co-owner of a dinosaur-themed park in Southern Colorado thinks an electrical malfunction is what caused the life-size animatronic Tyrannosaurus Rex in his park to burst into flames.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Zach Reynolds says the T-Rex at the Royal Gorge Dinosaur Experience smoldered for about 10 minutes before it caught on fire and burst into flames. Visitors watched as the inferno spread through the dinosaur, which appeared at times to be breathing fire. It did. There's a video online. It looks like this thing is...
It smoldered for 10 minutes. They just sat there going, wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah, no.
They didn't do anything about it?
From under the belly, just all this smoke coming up from under the belly, and then...
I assume no one was hurt.
Now, the dinosaur was 24 feet tall.
Wow.
It moved and made sounds. It was one of 16 dinosaurs that lined the park's Wild Walk exhibit. Reynolds says it is a total loss, but at least it made for some spectacular imagery along the way. It does. Go online and look at this thing. It's crazy watching a 24-foot dinosaur burst into flames and breathe fire.
Welcome to Combustion Park.
He hopes to have a replacement T-Rex installed by this summer. Apparently it was insured.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, if I had a dinosaur. I mean, who do you call for that, though?
So, I have another quick one here. In Foster, Rhode Island, a campground is looking for a lifeguard, and it's an easy gig because you don't have to wear a uniform. The campground that is looking for a new lifeguard is a nudist campground.
Oh.
The Providence Journal reports that Dyer Woods Nudist Campgrounds Help Wanted Notice for a lifeguard this summer says qualified candidates must have excellent communication skills and the ability to work as part of a team. Campground President Jim Johnson says the lifeguard can wear a swimsuit, but it's not necessary because nobody else will be. The campground offers swimming, hiking, volleyball, and a sauna for people who aren't afraid to bear it all. Johnson said there's really no difference between the Dyer Woods Camp in Foster and a regular campground. He says it's a family campground and people just show up to relax. says once people try going all natural, they usually fall in love with it and come back for more. At the McDonald's.
I'm watching that fire video of the dinosaur.
Pretty
that is,
cool, huh?
That's pretty cool.
How do you get one of those insured?
What, one of those dinosaurs or a nudist campground?
Yes, like who does that? Like both. You don't call the general.
Mutual of Omaha.
I never hear the Geico Gecko saying, you know, 15 minutes can save you 50%
on dinosaur
insurance.
Well, I would think it would be the Geico
insurance.
Gecko because he's a lizard too.
Oh, well, that's a fair point. I hadn't considered that angle, but I guess that would that would also work. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got. All right. Well, Ed, thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy April Fool's Day, too.
Oh, yes. One person got me.
Still 3 hours left.
Mm-hmm.
So don't count your Easter chickens.
I slashed your tires, too.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Good luck with that.
That's not a prank. That's illegal.
No, I only slashed three of them. If you slash off four, that's where it becomes illegal.
Oh, well, yeah, and you got to add up the value of the tires.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, reminder, OTL show on Facebook. If you want to keep up with us on social media, Jack posts a lot of things there, and I'm supposed to. That's a fair assessment, right? I think so. Okay. For Jack DeVos, I'm Joe Jewett. We'll see you next time on Over the Line, 610 WTVN.